So, good morning, everybody. It's a good day. And it's good people. A good day because it was too much rainy, but now it's a little better. Maybe it's getting better. So I'm happy. You're here. Time flies. Time flies means you before you know, the time kind of goes. And speed of our life is side by side going, but we forget or we confused or we tired, we are not aware of that. The speed of the time is going, and the speed of the time, side by side, the speed of the life is going. My message here today is life is on a speed. That means you don't know how much you have left. You'll never think about that way, or you are not concerned about that. But the fact is, speed of the time and speed of the light, speed of the sound, and the speed of our own life, they are parallel. Road, they all lead in one direction. Why I'm talking about that? I'm trying to tell you how important to recognize your condition, your situation, and how important to do something about it. Perhaps you can't totally stop what is already on the speed, but maybe recognize that you are in the speed of light. Your life, speed of light, your life is means it's running out of life. More like specifically, clarification is life, what we have, is so speedy, it's not going to last too long, if that makes sense. In other words, the numbers are getting less and less. The numbers, when we're talking about number of your remainder life is getting less and less, it's very easy to say less and less days, less and less months, less and less years left, the more speed we approach. If it's our money, it's running out. If it's our water, it's running out. It's getting less and less. It is no joke. It's a serious matter. Yet, unenlightened beings never beware of that, never thought that way, never looked at that way, never realized that way. So I am pointing out, in the beginning I say, it's happy we are all here. So that means you manage to be here out of speed of the life, speed of the everything, cycle, speed of samsara, speed of the confusion, speed of the problem. So you manage to take short time to be here. So that's the reason it's a very special. So now, sit upright, straight as possible, straight as possible. You will know more if you are my age. But if you are not my age, then something you look forward. So straight upright, and then close your mouth. And this time, I want long exhale. And use both noses. And a long inhale. But between exhale, inhale, you may remain calm and silent. And then continue exhale, and then inhale. So let's do that practice perhaps 21 times so that see how it works. And the idea here is your exhale, inhale, connect with the heart, and your mind, your awareness, your mindfulness awareness have to be with exhale, inhale. Now, between exhale, inhale, see your mind is also relaxed in between exhale and inhale. It is like escorting somebody, holding the hand and leading inside the house or outside the house. Same kind of analysis. So let's do 21 times. And don't worry about your counting. When somebody counted, when everybody stopped, presume that's 21. Because sometimes when you're counting, your concentration goes on counting rather than mindfulness and awareness. So let's practice this now. To start with, exhale, inhale, little bit stronger, and then as time goes by, it becomes more gentle and gentle, what they call natural breathing, exhale and inhale. This practice is commonly used for Buddhists and non-Buddhists, but anybody can use, but it's a very effective and it's a good. Effective means it's very helpful for calm down your mind, to cool down your mind, to settle down your mind, to relax your mind, but no sleepy practice. Sleepy practice I'll let you do in your room, not here. So I've been telling this again and again by telling 100 times. Maybe some of you might remember then. So repetition is important because I'm repeating again and again. But if there's no practice, so if I teach 100 times same topic, it might not be still there. Now, this practice is it's a good if you are in a very if you are very exhausted, this practice is good. If you are very confused, this practice is a starter. And also, if you are very angry with somebody, or you are angry but you don't know who you are angry with. I know sometimes you're angry, so angry you don't even know who you are angry really, but you're angry anyway. So they say, when you're angry, really angry, you're angry towards everybody, and they don't have to have any reason to get angry. And if you're not, if you understand that, if you agree with me that. So, angry, it's a advice that you go seclude yourself a little bit. Seclude means separate from the crowd. Separate from crowd, and then perhaps your office, if you have one, or your room, if you are part of the family, or just walk outside and then somewhere sit down and practice breathing exercise for a moment. And after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, practice a breathing exercise, and then you think more rational. The word I use is rational, means the reason, what was getting out of that. And perhaps you are more calm, therefore you might sometimes find that there is no particular reason to be doing that. Or you might find that is awful thing, projecting, creating such a negative emotion towards anybody or general for myself. So you recognize that and you clean up, sort of like figure out yourself, and you become an instantly different person. You realize you don't want to hurt your near and dear ones, because that's not in your list. That's not something you are looking forward to. And then also, you don't want to create negative karma. So when you realize that, everything settles down. But also sometimes you don't have choice because your other people make you angry. And also other people, like your boss. Not boss, boss. The boss might try to say how bad you are, or how late you are, or how slow you are, process of working. Now, I didn't go to those offices yet, but I can see through my mind. So you're already shaking, but then there's more shaking. In other words, you're already shaking means you're barely there, surviving. Now more shaking, shake you. And that's big. That's a big deal. That's a big thing happening in your life. So one thing what you need to do is isolate yourself and practice exhale, inhale, even if it takes 20 minutes or 30 minutes, guarantee you feel much better. Guarantee that. This practice is not magic. This practice is you're just relaxing. You try to figure out yourself, relaxing yourself. There is no magic. You can call that was magic, but really, you're creating environment yourself to calm down, relax. The Buddhist meditators, advanced practitioners, when there is a problem occurred, how they deal with those problems is they look directly into the problems, and the problem is what's made out of the problems. Is this problem is how it formed, how this problem began to exist. They look into the entity or the what's the components, what's made out of that. And through analysis, through meditatively, through meditation analysis, and they find out that good ones, good meditators, they will find that zero reason. They find out zero reason that why they get angry, why their problem is. And they find out you can't blame the person who is fighting with you. And you can't blame yourself either. It has nothing to do with you. It was just confusion. It was just confusion. So when they find out that, now that person realize you don't want to make worse chaos than already chaos. So they look into solution. The one of the best solution is counteract. The word I use, counteract, means opposite of the problem. The solution. The solution for the problem. They look into that. So once they look for solution to these problems, you already practice a positive. You already engage in a positive activities. You already separate negative activities that you have in your mind. You already separated. You're no longer there. It is saying we have potential to be good. We have potential to be confused. So, gangintayan samye, dugintayan samye. So, when we experience in temporary happiness, it is none other than our own mind. When we sat in a pain or hurt, H-U-R-T, hurt our mind, hurt. You can say hurt my heart or hurt my ego, but basically what you're talking about is hurt my mind. Hurt my mind. It is still talking about your mind. So the happy one is your mind. Sad one is also your mind. Confused is your also mind. Realizing is also your mind. So why I'm talking about that here is everything we do, it's a blessings, or you can say energy of your own mind. Energy of your own mind. So if we can focus our mind, it's more neutral zone or impartiality, then all the problems that we experiencing day to day in our life, they have no other choice except they have to disappeared. Or if they not disappeared, they let you go. They let you do what you're doing because they are powerless without your support. And what is your support? Your mind that get into there. And if you don't get into that situation, don't support them, don't attach to them, and don't make big deal about it, then all the problems that you might say unbearable are powerless. Simply, you're not supporting them. You're not feeding them. You're not feeding them. You're not indulging. You're not cultivating. You're not following them. So basically, if you can do that, you'll relax. And your relax is start with mindfulness awareness. So again, long exhale, long inhale, and once do 21 times, and then when your mind is more relaxed and calm, see, you can remember all these techniques that I told you. Let's meditate. Again, sit upright and no sleepy, no sueño. So, meditation is one part of important phenomena that we need to have in our life. Other part is a yoga or some form of physical activities. In a traditional retreat, it recommend 6 doctrines of Naropa, and then there's a Naropa yoga, then there is a Nigupa yoga. But anyway, Naropa style yoga is the one that I have a lot of experience, and when I was in a retreat. So part of that, I'm not teaching 6 yogas from Naropa here, but part of that is also breathing exercise known as let go old dead ones, dead air or old air out, and refresh with the new air fill in. Now, talking about air fill in is, you can visualize it as a refrigerator. So once in a while, you have to clean completely. And that way, you can put all new stuff there, and they will not be smell bad. Now, believe it or not, we all have our own refrigerator right here. It's just question that some are a little bigger than others. Now, let's not talk about that part. Just talk about important stuff. So exhale, inhale, deeper level start from the lower, is that word abdomen or something? Is that word, or I'm making up stories? Abdomen, below, lower part of the abdomen, and then you push her up and completely exhale. It takes some type of effort, and it also takes some type of intention. Because the intention is you are letting it go or clean up. You are. So you have to, you know your body well, hopefully. Because of some of you might not know. So you know your body very well, so you really need to, if it's like this, your stomach, like this, it will get out, the air, get out. Generally speaking, it get out from nose, but also through meditation, it get out all the pores. What a beautiful. All the pore is a word, P-O-R or P-O-L? P-O-R-E, thank you. Pore, all the pores are capable to breathing in, capable to exhale. We just don't know. We might know that they are sweating sometimes. And so, important stuff here is good meditators can manipulate one subtle, natural breathing, exhale, inhale is a master. Mastery is the word, mastery, become mastery. Then instead of not using the nose and air or other gates, gate, other gate is any from other place, or simply exhale, inhale from all the pores. And that's one of the reasons we know sometimes you can sit under the water and meditate a long time without using the thing. Screwdriver or something?
A snorkel.
Yeah, I use those in Hawaii. Mavi, I have to use that to keep up those fish. Those fish. Without using those, you can be sitting there for a long time. In my case, one of the lama who I told he doesn't know how to swim, I think he didn't know swim still. And there's a younger lama who know how to swim. And this story I share with you, some of you heard that before. So playing with it, the one can't swim, but they didn't know he didn't swim. He dragging him into the deep 10 feet water. And it's not it's not a river, but it's kind of small rainy season and storage water peak. So, but the lama doesn't know how to swim. He know one thing. He know how to meditate. And so he was digging in the water. He went with the meditation. And then, at long period of time, everybody's scared. And a lama who know how to swim having difficulty underneath because the lama who meditate, he hold him. There's a true story. In a dry line, the lama who know how to swim is upper chance. Like he's in control. But under the water, the one who doesn't know how to swim, he's in the control. So finally he let him go, the lama who can't sit under the water. He was just like almost make it. So he get out. The lama doesn't know how to swim. It's still not. It was a little mulky water. I remember it's not clear that what he's doing. I could not see. We were several of them. We were washing our own clothes. We didn't have somebody wash it for you. We didn't have machine. We didn't have electricity. We just very simple hermit meditators. A very clean environment. And no interact with the society, totally separate. So anyway, finally the lama who doesn't know swim, he come up. Of course he doesn't know swim, but he let it go. And when he come up, he has a big smile on his face. And he wasn't breathing hardly anything. He looks like that. From that day, we realized that how good his meditation was. Now, according to the record, when Dalai Lama came visit that retreat land, my retreat land, he's supposed to visit the retreat land, retreatants for a short period of time, half hour or something. He was spending several hours there, and all the officials and other attendants of the Dalai Lama, they all in wondering what's going on here. But they're not allowed to go inside the retreat door, cabin, near the outside gate. There's a gate outside. So Dalai Lama is the exception. He go inside. But the Dalai Lama was one of the interest, is one of the several retreatant lamas. We all sitting there. But one of them, there were questions about the breathing. And one of the lamas able to tell him and teach Dalai Lama says, I breathe every half hour. So that's like amazing to me. That's like amazing. That does not mean he doesn't breathe. I think half hour means without using the nose and mouth, he will be comfortable half hour. it means that. Now, question is, how he survived that? All the poles, he uses poles, manipulate the air element, and using, getting out of all parts. And the same with the Tomo, he generates heat within inside, so his body is so warm and hot, generally, or there is no need of cloth. And the food with the same. He go into the food system, no need to eat, and minimum eating. That's other subject, so you need to work on your meditation, you need to work on yoga, and then you need to work on a diet, food. The diet is, it's important because out of control is not good. Out of control means quality what you're eating and quantity what you're eating. I believe food is necessary, but food is also reduced will be more wise, because if you totally stop eating will be not practical, but reduce eating and quality need to eat. And I don't believe what we eat is what we made out of, particularly some Western psychologists. But I think what we eat brings a lot of problems. And then that problem do affect on our system. I believe that. So certain things like medications, a lot of medications when we take, certain things, not that one that you cure your disease, but aside from that, there is a side effect that how that medicine made has other ingredients, definitely they're not welcome in your system. So in other words, on one part of you are taking medicine, you're getting better, but other part of you is destroying now. If you understand what I'm saying. So the medicine is minimized, it's better, except there's no other choice available. And then the food quality is maximized, so that way you eat less. When you eat less, your machines and your system very happy, and they don't have to work too hard, and they're very harmonized with you because they're happy with what you're eating, what you distribute, distribution in the system of your body in order to sustain your physical reality, physical body. So I believe quantity, less quantity, more quality, and also the moderation and the choosing the more healthy food. So you have meditation, you have yoga, and then you have a dietary food. If you work on those three side by side, you might go extra 1 mile. The analysis I'm talking about 1 mile, what means you might go extra year, you might go for more than that. So that's the reason I really meant to share that with you. Let's meditate on those three parts, meditation and yoga exercise, and what type of yoga you do. Unless you are construction work, or gardeners, or your physical involvement is a morning, evening, there is a several hours you do all the time, perhaps you don't need to worry about that. You can just say, yeah, I do the yoga thing. Yoga exercise, I'll do all the time. But if you are zero physical activities, then I want you to pay attention on that. And then if you do zero meditation, that was one of the reasons why you get confused all the time. And not putting your mind in the right place makes not so happy life, not so optimistic, become a boring life. Or you might say, no matter whatever you think is negative, 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 you can't see any positive, positive, positive. Hey, look at the right side, it's a positive. Look at the left side, it's a positive. Look at the straight in front, it's a positive. Look at yourself, you should be positive because you're so alive. In fact, you are functioning. Every part of your body is functioning. Of course, a certain part may not function as good as when you're 20s. It's kind of getting a little slow, but but it's still functioning. The good news is it's still functioning. So there's a lot of positive you can think of that, positive things. After all, it is how you enjoy your life. By engaging meditation, yoga, and enjoying food or any other activity that you enjoy, you're enjoying every day. So it is it is your mind need to be focused. There was a time I saw a retired, very old lady, perhaps close to 90. So by talking to her, she was a conversationalist. She can talk, and her mind is very clear. And I noticed that she is not capable to go swim or long walk or order taxis to steak. She might have to modify that. She have to change a little easy ones. But she was very happy, and I asked her how she deal with, and she mentioned something, and I thought that was really positive. And that is what she say is, I enjoy the colorful, the trees, the mountains. I enjoy the sunlight. When sunlight hits all earth, everybody enjoy it. And I enjoy every day. And there's a lot of gratitude for that. I enjoy that I can see moon, I can see sun, I can see green trees, flowers. I can see all these people are not in a pain. They are sort of functioning. They are walking and talking. So I enjoy, there's countless things I can enjoy. I thought, if that kind of attitude, if any one of you have, it's worthwhile to live as long as you want. It's worthwhile to live no matter how old you are. We're talking about 90 years. Still, the quality is so beautiful. How the attitude is. So, it struck me or it hit me or it made me not forget that talk. So, I want you to remember, where is your meditation? Where is your yoga exercise? Third one, Where is your dietary quality of food you eat? Three, and if you can enjoy all these three, you have no excuse not to do, except you are qualified, capable to do those three, and you should enjoy it. Forget about little problems. Those problems, we took part of package long time ago. So let's meditate. So you practice those and work on those three issues And then tell me how you're doing. And I noticed some of you drive long ways. Thank you for coming from long ways for the Dharma. I usually tell them, but it's jokingly tell them, but it's also true that the more harder you make effort to come and drive, more distance you drive, and a complicated schedule you get through that, more it's a more benefit is there for you. The more easy you are, and less merit, because it was so easy, you didn't put much effort. So it's like you pay for it. It's like indirectly, it's not directly, but it's indirectly, the more harder to attend and do drive, or more harder, and more benefits of all. Because it's every effort that you put into it counts. So some of you drive long, long ways. Sometimes I wonder, where she go? Where she is? What happened? Is she angry with me? Or he is angry with me? Did I say or did I do something wrong? I wondering what happened. And I find out that nothing wrong with me. It was just they forgot. Or they because of schedule conflicts with them. It is good that the Dharma practice is you put in a more important list, one of the important list, rather than Dharma, the teachings of Sunday that you're getting here, as long as this Lama is talking, then you make that important because it's an opportunity for you to learn once every week. And it's wonderful because you don't have to make a lot of effort or buying ticket or find a lama. A lot of Westerners go overseas looking for lama. They will find lamas, but there's no translator. So that was one problem. But then also sometimes they realize that was harder to doing that than much easier if you use your own local lama. As less economic and easy access, whatever they call that. I have one announcement. That is 20 and 21 Kagyu Monam. I invite all of you to do the monam. Saturday, Sunday, and of 20 and 21, if you are attending that 20 or 21, you can attend both, or you can attend one of the other day. You can attend either Sunday, you can attend from the Saturday. But I'm requesting you not half day. Just Saturday or Sunday, you do full day. Or you can do full day, two full days, and all of you invited. That's something I want to talk. Also, some of you have a statue to need to collect from me, so please come collect the statue. Some of you may have to talk to me. Please talk to Michael, and he will let you know. He can come up. And one more announcement is this coming Thursday, which is 18th, mantra rolling. Last Thursday, mantra rolling done a lot of good job, and I'm very happy about that. And I'm expecting you can come to Genesis practice and then mantra rolling. Mantras to roll and prepared, it's a lot of work, but it's also fun. You can recite the mantra, and what we're going to do is after Genesis, 1 hour, Only 1 hour. We got not more than 1 hour. So chinesic practice ends of around 8. So 8 to 9 is the mantra rolling. Now, anybody want to come, you can put that in a calendar. It's in the evening. Now, some of you drive long way, so it's not possible. I understand that. Thank you very much, everybody. And Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam. Sarva Mangalam.